Good evening, this is your host, Sandra Mendez, on the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect. Natural Radio Show is a platform for holistic and sufficient discussions that is centered on uplifting and empowering women worldwide on the Natural Radio Show. Once again, this is your host, Sandra Mendez, on the Natural Radio Show, and tonight's topic is going to be about three simple steps to follow for organizing daily tasks. But before I begin, I just wanted to give a little update that Natural Radio Show will no longer be on Tuesdays. It will be on Saturdays, so you can expect to listen to the show at 9 p.m. on a Saturday evening. So, once again, this is a 30 to 45 minute audio recording, so you all can actually stay tuned. So, once again, the title is Three Simple Steps to Follow for Organizing a Daily Task. And the first thing that comes to mind, or the first step, should I say, is time blocking. Now, what is time blocking? Time blocking is a time method used for scheduling and mapping daily tasks and activities. So this is what time blocking is. Now the benefits of time blocking is being able to establish a commitment to the task. For example, let's say you've purchased a calendar or you use electronic calendar and you mapped out your task for the week. What happens is that once you lock that task in or that activity in and what you have to do, it actually encourages you to remain committed to that task that's in that time block. So you know that you have an awareness of what needs to be completed and what needs to be prioritized accordingly. So this is what establishing a commitment to a task is, you know, useful for time blocking. And then having a clear perspective on real time. So when you are able to map out your time accordingly throughout the week, you are able to get a evaluation of, you know, how your week is going to go, better yet, how your day is going to go, and how you're going to be able to execute those tasks accordingly. So you're able to see how much time you are spending in a certain activity, and then you're able to prioritize once again according to what's most important, you know, to what's least important. And usually when you do that, being able to sort and prioritize accordingly, there's a method that you can use, which is the first four alphabets, or I'm thinking it's the first three alphabets, if I'm not mistaken, which is A, B, C, and D. So basically, I'm thinking that it's, I'm just going to stick to A, B, and C. But usually A is the most important task, like the urgent task that needs to get done. So usually how you sort it out is that you put everything that is urgent that needs to get done in that pile for A. Okay. And then, the things that are important, you will want to put that in the category of B that can actually get done throughout the week. Okay, and then C would be considered the column that you use for the least important things that you can do, such as watering the plants. You know, that may be something that's important, which can be in classified section of B. But usually, let's say if it's just something just like sweeping the floor or something, that's least important, you know, when you are prioritizing. So that's a technique that you can actually use in your real time when you prioritize accordingly to the alphabet A, B, and C, and having a clear perspective on how you're going to be able to tackle and execute what needs to get done throughout the week. Okay, this can also apply to your work life, your personal life, and it's a very productive technique. Okay, another benefit for time blocking is an increase on productivity. So based off of how useful this tool is for you, you will be able to see changes over time. Once you apply that level of commitment to that task, you'll be able to see how you are progressing in certain areas. You know, when you are keeping a log of things, you'll be able to evaluate things that you've done in the past and see how you can continuously improve over time. So time blocking, for sure, it does increase your productivity side, and it keeps you focused on becoming a better person or better, increasing your ability to manage things much better in the future. Okay. Another aspect would be it allows you to remain in control of your life. Yes. So basically, when you prioritize your time and you do like a time blocking, and you have that time set for work, you have time set for your personal life, you have that time set for, it could be for school, it could be for family, friends, you know, you're able to be in control of that. You know, your appointments that you have to take care of, you can actually have that on an electronic calendar and be able to see, evaluate how you're going to be able to, you know, delegate your time. Because guess what? There's 168 hours in 1 week. 1 week. And usually, you know, for working people, you spend at least 40 hours plus out of that 168 hours. And then you have some time for sleep, and then the rest of the time, well, I don't even know, you know, how other people might manage their time, but, you know, 168 hours, you know, you have that can actually be within your control, and you being able to map it out accordingly. Okay, so I think that's a beautiful, thought to keep in mind when managing your time. You know, we all know it's 24 hours in a day, and we could delegate it accordingly, you know. So I always look at time like a transferable skill when managing money, you know, and vice versa. So based off of how you manage money, that's the same way how you got to treat your time. Like, you know how there's a saying that says time is money and money is time, you know, so those have some type of value and equivalency to each other. Okay, so another benefit in time blocking would be to consolidate your to-do list or any task that you have to get done. So once again, you can use the category A, B, and C. A being most important, B being important, and C being least important. You can do that and consolidate what it is that you need to do and get an evaluation of what needs to get done for the week. Another technique that is good is usually before the week even starts, which is usually on a Sunday, it's good to brainstorm all of the things that you need to do, whatever you need to get done, and then be able to plug in those time blocks on a calendar, you know, throughout the whole week, which is a good technique because that can also allow you to see, you know, which day will be an effective day for you to get a certain task or something that needs to get done urgently. What day would be a good day to do that and at what time, you know? So these are good time management tools and techniques that you can use that will help you to be productive, and it's very beneficial. Okay, so when you are committed to time management skills and managing your time, your work life, you know, your social life, and things of that nature, you begin to form good habits. Okay, you become more mindful of your time, how you're going to spend your time, you know, the people who you're going to be interacting with, you know, how long you're going to complete a task or activity. You know, these things are in your control. And while these things are in your control, like I said, it's a good habit. Sometimes it helps you set your biological clock to whereas if you use like a alarm clock or something like that, which I'm going to talk about later, which will help you to get in the groove of, you know, your algorithm of life and how you manage your life. You know, those things are useful for, you know, forming a good habit with time blocking. Okay. And then now that I talked about the benefits, let's talk about how can you utilize a calendar, book, and electronics. So usually you can use a daily hour calendar. And one of those daily hour calendars, I would say it's like a time. It's time like a 15 to 30 minute interval hourly book. Whereas usually when you have the book is in columns. It's almost like an appointment book, but there's different calendars that have like columns for each day of the week. And then they have like a whole calendar for the month, and then they have the columns for each week. And usually when you look in the rows, they have rows as well. And in those rows, maybe short, but it usually have like the hourly, then it has like a 15 minute, then it has a 30 minute, and you can actually plug in what you need to be doing at those interval times. Okay, so that's one calendar book that you can actually have and utilize. Another calendar that I love and I really like it a whole lot is a desk calendar. And one example of that is At a Glance calendar, whereas you can get a gist of the, it's a whole big calendar that, monthly calendar, excuse me, with blocks. Like the blocks of for each day, and you can actually plug in what you need to do, and you're able to see, you know, get an overview of what needs to be done for the whole month and not just for a week when you're just flipping through books and things. It's just that you're able to plug it in and be able to, you know, locate whatever needs to be located on the calendar. So that's a good technique, especially for work. You know, a desk calendar is good for work. It's a useful tool. Some people feel like, oh, hey, I don't need a desk calendar when we have the computer calendar and we have, you know, all of this, you know, all of the wall calendars, all of that is not, you know, in style anymore. But trust me, it's still a useful tool, you know, to help a person keep track of the days of the week and just, you know, being able to delegate your life accordingly and prioritize it accordingly. Okay, so another thing is that you can mark the amount of time you would need to complete a task when you are time blocking. So usually, let's go on back to the book with the columns and the rows for each week. What you can actually do is, let's say if you need to complete a task within 2 hours, you can actually fill in the block from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and just put like a line. It's like a dash, and you could just put what you're going to be doing for those, for that remaining hour. If you want to be detail oriented, you can say how you're going to transition from 1 hour to another by putting in what you're going to be doing at that time. However, if there's a lot that's going to be taking place within that 2 hours, then all you need to do is just put, okay, meeting, you know, meeting with XYZ, and that's how you time block, you know, for your calendars. Okay, so I love the technique of time blocking. I love it so much because electronically you can actually color code, you know, the things that you need to do. So it's almost like an auto kind of thing. When you look at your calendar, you see the color, you already know what you need to be doing, you know, on a specific day just by the color coding. And that's a good technique for me, and I love it. It keeps me organized. And the color coding would be good if it's something that's going to be done repetitively throughout your week or throughout the month. Like, say, like for a student, you know, being able to have like a color coding calendar is a good technique. Okay. Let's see. Moving along to appointments. Appointment calendars is also similar to the the calendars that have columns and rows. However, it's similar to each other. It doesn't really have a monthly calendar in these appointment calendars. Just it goes by the day, you know, each day. So it's more or less like a weekly calendar with time intervals listed in each column, you know. So that technique is good for time mapping. So if you have an appointment on Monday, or somebody makes an appointment with you for Friday, you're able to plug it in and put it inside of the book. You know, we have like electronic and we have a book. So this helps you to keep track of, you know, for people who you might have clients for doing business and things of that nature, who you're going to have a meeting with, a call with, you know, all of those things is important to use when you are using an appointment calendar. Okay. Especially when you have to go for a doctor visit or something, might want to jot that down in an appointment calendar. So it's appointment calendars, totally different from agenda calendars and just, weekly calendars with the time intervals is totally different. Okay. And you can also do your own research about, you know, up on appointment calendars. So now that I talked about that, another aspect would be bullet journals. Bullet journals are for the creative ones that are out there that love to like sketch and things like that. So bullet journals, you might want to do your own little thing and have like a little time blocking thing, how you want to do it, you know, having like symbols and having iconic, you know, symbols like an arrow, a check, or a dash to let you stay on track of what you need to be, you know, doing. You know, those things, those are useful tools for people who have a creative mind and don't really want the standard type of calendar, and they want to do something on their own, something that's more intrinsic to them, you know. And usually type of books like that, you need a blank or dotted book, you know, is required. 5x7, you know, depending on your use of how you would utilize a bullet journal. Okay. And then we have electronic calendar, which is best used from email accounts. One electronic calendar that I love, 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 especially with the additional tools and apps that they have, is Gmail. You know, Gmail has a good calendar section where you can put in, you know, do time blocking easily, color coding. It has a thing where it's called they have a doc section where you could upload your work, your Word document, Microsoft Word and things of that nature on a doc. It's called DOC. And then I wish I could remember. It's another tool that they have on there where you can actually share with other people and have them to, you know, view the things that you upload and give other people the opportunity to edit the work. I think that has some type of affiliation with the doc part. But then it also has like a translator for if you want to say something or write a sentence out, it could translate it in a different language. It just has a lot of tools other than just the calendar on there that I find so productive and useful. And I wish I I could get that, what it is. Hold on, let me see.
Mommy, I now teach myself something.
Okay, go.
Please just listen real quick.
But wait, I'll listen to you after. Go ahead.
I talk to yourself in a mirror to build your self-esteem.
Okay, come on. Let's go affirmation.
Put affirmation.
All right, so it's called Google Keep. So it's a good tool because it also helps you to like keep track of tasks, you know, things that you want to keep track of, you know, things that you have to do. So I find that as a useful tool along with the calendar as well for time blocking. Okay, so now that I talked about time blocking, I want to move along to the second step, which is organizing files and your environment. So what is organizing skills or organizational skills? Okay, so organizational skills is the ability to manage your time, your tasks, or resources efficiently. Okay, and the benefits of organizing your files and just your environment in general. One, it's easy to locate your files, whether it be electronically or through a paper filing system. Having a mail holder or box. And the reason why I say mail holder or box specifically is because you know how sometimes you go check the mail and it's so easy to just put your mail on a kitchen counter and forget that it's there, and then it just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up. Why not have a mail holder or box to where it already has a place for when you do collect your mail, you put it inside of the holder or mail holder or box, and you set a time blocking to look through your mail and see if there's any important documents that's sent to you. So being able to have that type of system for your mail holder or box is a good technique to have because it helps you to be more proficient and be able to file away important documents that get mailed to you. You know, some people might use a bag, you know, and put all of their important documents in it because they don't know how to really, you know, critique, you know, the organization and things, whatever. So even if you have to keep a bag with all your important documents because you're not the type of person to be patient enough to organize your stuff accordingly, keep that bag. Keep that bag. Matter of fact, get a folder for those documents so that way, you know, it helps you to be, you know, in alignment or keep track of all of your items and things of that nature. Okay, so a database allows the mobility of organizing your files in order, such as, let's say, if you have to input things into let's say Excel worksheet. Excel is a phenomenal tool to actually use for if you do have to input numbers or anything just in general, categories or anything that you're doing. You know, that's a good technique, a tool to use to organize your things from alphabet order from A to Z. Okay, and then when you think about the environment, when you clean and tidy up your workspace, it helps you to have clear thoughts and a mind. which is awesome. Okay, some people might think, oh, it's insignificant, this is what needs to get done. The messy room and stuff, that doesn't bother me. I'm still going to get my work done. But at the end of the day, imagine if you did clean up your workspace or just your place in general, the amount of thoughts that you can get and the amount of clarity and the ideas that you can get if you had a clean and decluttered room or space. You know, you'll be able to maneuver accordingly and things of that nature. Okay, so one of the things that you have to also do when you are keeping a clean and tidy workspace and keeping track of files and, you know, things of that nature, you want to make sure that you have essential office supplies available. That way you can be able to do whatever work that you need to get done effectively. Okay, so now that I talked about the benefits, let's move along to how to file in paperwork in your environment and things like that. So certain files, whether it be paper documents or just a database, you want to sort your files in alphabet order or by a number sequence. Okay, so usually when you do sort your files, you want to make sure that it's done by last name to first name. And then if you are doing a number sequence, you always want to go by the last 4 to 6 digit number sequence. So you want to keep that sequence. Let's say if you're putting it in an Excel database or something like that, it's easy to track when you have like a last 4 or 6 digit number when you have to input in the database or be able to search it out in the database as well. Okay. Usually what corresponds to that 4 to 6 digit number is maybe a 3 digit code or sometimes a 2 digit code, or, you know, something like, give an example, it might say 02-1482, something like that. Or let's say if you're doing a sequence of a section and it has 3 numbers and it says 020-1482, sometimes that sequence could, you know, that's a number sequence that you can use, a pattern that's is meant for a reason. Sometimes let's say if you're using 020, for example, that 20 could represent the year, and then it can also, the remaining digits, the 4 to 6 digits, is just the number sequence of whatever, you know, is linked to that number. Okay, so keep a current paper files when it comes down to filing, having a filing system, a paper filing system. Always keep your current folder in front of the previous one, so that way when you're looking for the items, it'll be there, you know. But you can also file it in alphabet order, but you want to make sure that it's in front of whatever item that it is. Okay, and let me see. When it comes down to using folder tabs are also good as well too. So if you use the tabs, it's I forget what the folders are, because you have a manila folder that you put inside of another folder. It's called a folio, I think. Usually it's a green color, or sometimes it's different colors, but a manila folder, and then you have the folio to where you can put the manila folder inside of the folio, and then on the top part of the folio you can put a tab to where you can actually locate whatever it is that you need to locate in your filing system. Okay, so now that I talked about filing your system, now let's talk about how to get your place clean, how to sort each place or items. Okay, so when it comes down to cleaning a home, you want to be able to have a plan on how you will clean each section. And each section will consist of your kitchen, your bedroom, your bathroom, you know, whatever room that you have to actually clean. You want to be able to have a plan on how you're going to be able to execute and clean that area, and what type of cleaning products you're going to actually use to clean the bathroom, because you have bathroom products that's totally different from what you might use for kitchen products. So you want to be able to make sure that you're using certain products accordingly when you're going to be executing and cleaning the area or a section in your home. Another thing, sometimes there are all-purpose products that you can actually use, you know, throughout the, you know, whole home, which is a useful tool, you know, to use. But like I said, you want to be able to decide on what type of, you know, chemicals you want to be using to clean your home and what's going to be useful for you. Okay. Moving along to cleaning items. When it comes down to cleaning items, you want to be able to divide them up. Divide each item up. So the way you do that, you divide them up into tasks. So, for example, if you are going to clean up for the week and it is a cleaning day or a cleaning week, what you might want to do is say on Monday, if it's a cleaning week, on Monday, I want to just clean all papers. All papers, I want to just shred all papers that I don't need and throw them away. Monday, you set that time block for that day to clean up all the papers within your home. Then when you get that done, let's say Tuesday come rolling around and you say, you know what, I need to get all my clothes and everything organized. I need to have a pile with clothes that I don't need or I can't fit pile and have that all sectioned out from the clothes that you're going to keep, the clothes that you do need. And as you sort them out and you get all your clothes and everything organized accordingly, you'll be able to take those clothes that you can't fit or you don't want and be able to donate those clothes to Salvation Army or to less fortunate people who might need the clothes that you no longer want or can fit, you know. So that's a good technique. And once you're able to keep the clothes that you have, then you actually have some more space, some more air to breathe within your home when you focus on cleaning up all the clothes. And then let's say Wednesday, friendly Wednesday come around. Now you get to tackle your shoes. And that means all of your shoes, sneakers, boots, all of that, all of them, you deal with it on Wednesday. And you section them out. You decide which shoes, which sneakers you want, which you don't want. And that pile that you don't want, you can actually donate it away. So now, when you do these things, let's say you uncertain about an item that you have, what you do is that you hold on to it. And if you hold on to it and you don't find no use for it within that week, then you might as well put it in the go out pile and just send it away if you're uncertain about something that you want, an item that you want. Okay, and then last but not least, when it comes down to the environment, is get rid of what you don't need or want. Don't just hold on to things. And this is specifically for, I know it's hard for people who have a tendency of hoarding and they like to hold on to things because they feel it that they have hopes for, you know, this item for the future and things like that. But guess what? I mean, it's good to recycle. I'm very big on recycling. I love recycling, you know, but for useful things, you know, not for things that's useless, that's just going to sit around the home and become all decluttered and you can't move around and you can't even think, have a clear thought. You know, I don't understand how people, you know, do hold on to items and hoard items and, you know, they don't really have much use for it. How are you able to think? Like, I just fathom what goes on in their brain to hold on to things that they don't utilize or use. You know, it's one thing to have something like, let's say if you have a stockpile on soap or you have a stockpile on, you know, things that are necessities like lotion, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Things for the kitchen, like if you have food or something or whatever the case might be, dry food, you know, not no food that's going to spoil you, but dry food, and you have it in sorts. That's okay, because guess what? It's a necessity. It's going to get used, and it's okay to have it there because you're going to be using it for the future. So those things are good. But when you have other things, when, like, let's say a person have a pet peeve and they like to buy clothes, and you're buying clothes at the clothes at the clothes, you either wear it one time or you don't wear it at all, and you just have piles of clothes in your home and you don't do nothing with it. I'm sorry to say, but that is hoarding, you know, and it's not good, because just imagine the type of things that you can actually do with the type of items that you have, especially if it's good tools that you have, that you can sell it, you can give it to less fortunate people, you know, donate it if you're not utilizing it, and it welcomes new things into your life that you can utilize and be able to replenish after, you know. So when it comes down to people that do hoarder, people hoarder for a number of reasons. You know, like, I know someone who's a hoarder, and they hoard because when they used to be a child, you know, they didn't really have much. So as they got older, they said to themselves that they were never or would ever be in want. So as a result of them lacking in their childhood and their adult life, they chose to keep the clothes and everything to never be in lack. So that's one aspect. I can say someone who I know who hoards, you know, clothing or something because they lack something in their childhood and they don't ever want to, you know, be in that position. And I can understand that. But at the end of the day, you know, being a cleansy person, you have to get your life organized. It would change the whole dynamic of your life. It will welcome new things into your life, new energy, new prosperity when you declutter your home and get rid of things that you don't need. Okay. Moving along to the third step is using an alarm clock or timer. Now, an alarm clock, it's an electronic, analog, or digital clock with a sound effect meant to wake someone up. That's an alarm clock. And a timer, it's an electronic device with an automatic preset time and sound effect. Okay, so this is what an alarm clock is, and this is what a timer is. Now, the benefits of those two is you have the ability to manage time effectively, give an estimate on how long as a task will take, you know, how long it will take, a healthy sleep pattern, whereas you can wake up at a set time, and eventually your biological clock, as I said before, would eventually, you know, start to wake up at that time automatically without the alarm clock. It usually you'll find yourself minutes before your alarm go off, you being up before that time. It helps you to keep track of the productivity going out throughout your life. Now that I talked about alarm clocks, let's talk about timers. Timers helps to unburden your brain to remember certain things. Let's say, for example, if you are exercising and you're supposed to do a 20 second or 10 minute workout, you know, having like a watch or something to keep track of that, it unburdens your mind, your brain, while you're in the process of exercising or doing something or task or some sort. Okay. Moving along to keeping a person focused. Timers help a person keep focus as well, and when it helps you to keep focus, it lets you know that if you're going to put all of your attention and energy into something, you know that you have a set time and that you can rely on that timer to allow you not to go over that time slot. Like, for example, people love social media. They love to be on Facebook. They love to be on Instagram. They love to be on Twitter, like 24/7. And it's like they don't even realize it, that they, it's like a trance. They on it 24/7 and don't realize that, okay, What time do you have for eating? What time do you have, you know, for doing other tasks and things of that nature? So if you say to yourself, I only want to spend 30 minutes on Instagram or 30 minutes on Facebook and that's it. You can use a timer, so you can put all your focus, all your energy into, you know, let's say social media for 30 minutes. You know that that timer is going to go off and that's it. Once it goes off, you need to go to a different activity. See? Works like a charm, right? Now, another thing is that timers help you to stay on your task. Like I said, when you put all your focus and energy into something, you know that you can give it 100% of your attention and effort. When you put, when you have that level of attentiveness, and you know that you can rely on that timer to not let you go over that certain task. Okay, now don't get me wrong, some things require quality time, meaning more than just the interval time. It may require 2 hours, 3 hours, and that's fine, you know, if you have the time block accordingly in that way, because you have to take your time on completing that task. Okay, and then timers are great for indicators when your time is up. Yes, it is. Okay, so How to utilize an alarm clock and timer. One thing you might want to do is purchase a smartwatch. Now, I know you like, what's a smartwatch? A smartwatch is something that can keep track of your heart rate, your steps, and have a applicable timer for you. Now, Apple Watch isn't a good investment to have because it also, you know, is good for other utilities that a person can use on their watch. Having a Fitbit is also good for those who love to exercise. You know, you can keep track of, you know, the amount of steps you use to walk in, you know, the distance in which you use. You know, these watch are smart watches that can give you that type of data and information. Okay, and then when you're using the timer, you have to understand that it's set up as an hour, minute to second kind of thing. It has a section to where you can set it. So if you need seconds to do something, it has the second slot where you could just put an amount of seconds. Then it has the minute. The minutes, how many minutes you're going to actually use. And then it has the hour. So a timer is good for that, for you to use to set your time and what you need to do and how long you need to do it. Okay. And then you have to purchase an alarm clock. Now, alarm clock is old fashioned, but hey, you can get you a clock for the kitchen, you know, a cooking clock to let you know when you have your time is up for the food or when the food is cooked at a certain time. You know, a cooking clock is good for the kitchen, but an alarm clock is good for the home, like your bedroom. So you might want to get like a digital clock. That usually how you use a digital clock is you usually have to hold the snooze button and adjust the time, like the hour time or the minute time, and that's how you set your time accordingly. And then when you are trying to set your alarm, usually I think you have to do some type of adjustments to it. And usually when you have the alarm set, it has a dot to indicate when it's your alarm clock on a digital clock. Okay, so that's how you utilize the alarm clock. And then last but not least, don't forget to place the alarm clock far away from your bed for the morning times, because usually it's so tempting for when your alarm go off to just cut the snooze button, and then it come back up again and you cut the snooze button again and so forth. So you don't want that, because then that stops the productivity of your life. You know, so you don't want that to happen, because then that forms into bad habits. So now that I talked about these things, one of the things that I wanted to mention is that I love those people who are minimalist. I love people who are like that, because they find the value in having significant items, the least items, but significant items that help them to be productive throughout their day. They don't feel a need to have so many things to be productive. So I wanted to just say kudos to minimalists and to those people who are cleansy and tidy. They love to keep a clean environment, workspace, and home. Like, I am just so for it because I love it. Like, I may not be always be on my A game, but I thrive in a clean environment. I love a spacious and clean environment. And for those who can relate to me, they understand what I mean. So with that being said, thank you for listening to the Natural Radio Show, and I hope that you were able to get something from tonight's show, and you all have a beautiful, beautiful night. Good night.